Okay, so we're continuing on the issues of Tefillin on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed. So just to flesh out a little bit more on Tefillin Yom Tov, then we'll move to Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the first source is just the Gemara again, just to quickly run through it, just to ground ourselves again. So this is the Gemara in Menachos, and Mike Savar, we saw this discussion last week. So Ika Savar, Laila's, Man Tefillin, Shabbos, Nami's Man Tefillin. Right, we saw that there were different positions. If you think night is a time for tefillin, and Shabbos is also, except for Shabbos, Lavs Man Tefillin, Laila Nami Lavs Man Tefillin, so then, right, and if you think on you, Shabbos is not a time for tefillin, then night is also not. Mehecha Demante, Shabbos, Mehasam Mati, Leilos, because you exclude them from the same source. The Tanya, the Brisa said, Vishamartas, Chokazos, Lamadam, Yamim, Yamim. Yamim velo leilos mi yamim velo kol yamim prat la shabbos yamim tovim dira Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili derives them both from this pasuk that you shall guard this statute, and then we derive from it right in its right time mi yamim, so days and not nights, mi yamim, since it's from days, meaning some days and not all days, and not Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo nemar chukazo, ela Pesach bovad. No, that pasuk is talking about Pesach, ela nafka, mehecha nafka, le Rabbi Kiva, detanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer. So Rabbi Kiva learns from somewhere else, yachal yaniach adam tefillin b'Shabbos, v'yom tovim, talmud lomar, v'hayol ha'os, al yodecha l'to tofos, bein einecha. It shall be a sign for you, misha tzrich an os, you only wear tefillin when you need a sign, yatsu shabbos v'yom tovim, so it's excluded shabbos and yom tovshen gufan os, that are themselves signs. And Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol maniach tefillin achar shkiyas hachama, over ba'asei, not only is it not the proper time, but you violate a positive commandment, Rabbi Yochanan Amar over balav, Rabbi Yochanan says you even violate a negative commandment, we left out all the discussion in the middle, and Amar Ravina said, Havi Yosivna kamei de Rabbi Yashi, v'chashach v'niach tefillin, I was by Rabbi Yashi, and he put on the tefillin at night, it was about to get dark, v'amri le, l'shamran kabai, l'humar, are you doing it just to guard it? Amalien, he said, yeah, that's why I'm doing it. V'chaziti l'daiti, but I realized that that's not what it was. Lav l'shamon hu d'vai, he wasn't to guard it. Kasavar halacha vein marin. Can you thought that really you're supposed to put it on at night, but you don't tell the public that. And Rashi said, because people will wear it and end up falling asleep with it.
Which Tana holds that you put on the phone at night and on Shabbos? Because they don't mention who that Tana.
So yeah, so here it ends up being right. Ravina, you know, says Rav Ashi did.
He's the Amora, but he's not the Tana.
Yeah, it was. It meant the anonymous voice. It's an anonymous voice, I think. Uh-huh. Here in the Tanaim. So we saw this last week that there's the, you know,
right.
We have Rabbi Yosi Aglili who excludes both of them from Vishamartas Hakuka and Rabbi Kiva who derives it from Os. And if it's Os, then that would only exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov, but not nights. And night would, according to Bekiva, be Zman Tilin, Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't have anyone who says it. So Bekiva, at night, if there's someone for Shabbos and Yom Tov, that remains anonymous. Okay, so what we didn't really get into last week is there a difference between these two sources? Right? Rabbi Kiva thinks that night might be a time of Tilin, and Ravashi even thinks that. You know, differences in whether it's halacha vein maronkin or not. But both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi agree that Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't wear tefillin, but Rabbi Yossi derives it from Vishamarta Esachuka, Rabbi Kiva from Os. So what I want to explore first is whether there's a difference between those two exclusions. So looking at them, what might be a difference between the two? Right, between deriving it from Vishamarta and from Os. Or even more carefully from the formulation of the Gemara, from Misha Tzrichen Os, Yatzur Shabbos V'yam Tom She'en Gufan Os, versus, right, really maybe I should have left in the what I put in the ellipsis. But right, let's start with Rabbi Kiva, right? When Rabbi Kiva says you don't wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so does it sound like from Rabbi Kiva that the Gemara's discussion of you violated an asay or a lav could apply to Rabbi Kiva?
No,
I don't.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Sounds like not. Right. Because he says you just don't need it. Right. It's
right.
Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now I mentioned last week that might not be true. Right. Because you could have read it as you don't need an os, and therefore if you were to wear a second os, you'd be degrading the sign of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and you know,
over
and Right? And that is how some people read even Shulchan Aruch, right? That the lav and the assay maybe would even apply to that. But the simple read of the Gemara is that Rabbi Akiva doesn't say that. Rabbi Akiva simply says, you don't have to wear it. But Rabbi Yossi says, Vishamarta is a chukah azos. So the Gemara's ensuing discussion of Vishamarta, do you derive from the lashon of Shin Mem Reish a lav or an assay, a negative prohibition or a positive command? Right? That sounds like it's going only on the drush of Rabbi Yossi, right? How do you understand Hishamer? So this is, in fact, it seems to be the way that Tosfos took it.
Don't you know about Tosef? Wouldn't that be an issue as well for Rabbi Akiva?
Not necessarily. Meaning, like, you know, tzitzis, even if we think you're not obligated at night, you don't have to necessarily take it off, right, at night. It's not, you know, forbidden to have it at night. It's not a mitzvah, but, you know.
More baltosef is usually inherent in the mitzvah itself. In the
right, I mean, baltosef is complicated. There are, in some sugyas and shas, it implies that baltosef is only in when it's in the object, right? It's five parshas and fill-in. There are places in shas where it doesn't imply that, where it implies it's even in the action.
Right.
That ends up being which sugyas you think are controlling ends up being a machlokas rishonim. But yeah, in general, baltosef is understood to relate to when I actually add to the object, though we have discussions of, you know, is sitting in Shmini Atzeret, in the right. Sugya in Shmini Atzeret in Eretz Yisrael, right. Is that baltosef? And is that because you're somehow adding to the Yom Tov? So we have exceptions to that, and again, which is really controlling is complicated.
Rav Ashi, does that mean he's holding like Rabbi Akiva?
It sounds like he's holding like Rabbi Akiva or some parallel position, yeah. That's what it sounds like. So Tosfos seems to have distinguished this way. So you look at just source 2, just look at the background. Right, we mentioned last week Rabbeinu Tam's position about saying the bracha of Lishmar Chukav. So he gets that from this Gemara here in Nida. The Gemara says, "L'bnei ma'arava de'mevarchi basar desliku tefilaihu." People in Eretz Yisrael used to make a bracha when they took off their tefillin. Asher k'dishavim zavzav v'tzivanu Lishmar Chukav. Right, and the words come from the pasuk of Vishamarta asach chukah. They would say the bracha, right, to guard your statute based on the pasuk v'shamartas chukazos when they took off their tefillin. So this is the slightly more expanded version of the Tosfos that we saw last week. This is the one in Nida. So Tosfos says as follows. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the al tefillin levad havi mevarche lishmar chukav. The only mitzvah where they would say a bracha when they took it off was tefillin. Dikra divishamartas chukazos the muadas yirle lemenei ma'arava divit filling ksiv, because the pasuk that the bracha is derived from is about tefillin. Kidamar b'Yerushalmi aval tzitzis ki misalek me'alav leka man demivarech. But tzitzis, when you take it off, you wouldn't make a bracha. Utfillin nami dafka shemitzalkan tzamoch l'shkiyas acham. And again, it's only when you took it off right before nightfall. Shemuchuyav l'salkan, because that's when you have to take them off. Kidamar b'akomitz rabba that in niyech tefillin nachar shkiyas achama over ba'asei dechziv v'shamar tazchukav v'shamar tazei asei. Because as we saw in the Gemara in Menachos, that's when you violate the lav or the asei when you leave it on at night. Avot tzitzis avagav depater balayla, even though you don't have to wear tzitzis at night, leka iser. There's no prohibition. Vein chayv l'salkan, you don't have to take it off. V'shmaitz and avimatz l'meimar l'asuyit. Tzitzis, you could have read into the sugya that's talking about tzitzis. El denichal minkar reichanei mishum depsika da'achal reiknei ein mevarach reilin, etc. Fine. That's not our issue. Lididan, but we, lo kai melon gemer marava, we don't paskin like the people in Eretz Yisrael, lo mevarchin achar tefillin lishmar chukav, and we don't say the bracha. The parak komitz rabba muchach, the laila loves man tefillin, who? Because we saw in the Gemara Menachos that night is not the time of tefillin. Dahachar savar of Ashi, hasam, that's our Ashi held there. I mean, the rabbanan hu da asr, and only rabbinically it's asr.
It says mochach, the laila is man tefillin.
Sorry, that it's zman tefillin, right? Like Rav Ashi, right? That it's halacha ve'in morin kain. And it's asr rabbinically, the asr shelo yashin behan. And the reason that you can't wear it at night is because you might fall asleep in it. Ukra div shamarta mukmin al dechukas ha pesach hakos medabar v'af al gav the Shabbos loves man tefillin. Who? And even though Shabbos is not a time of tefillin, mikomakom im mevarech aleim kishem esalka on erev Shabbos im chashecha. But still, you don't make a bracha if you take it off right before Shabbos. Dein chayev lesalkan, because you don't have to take it off. Dinafgalan mila os al yadcha yatsu Shabbos v'yamim tovim shein gufan os. Because we rule like Rabbi Kiva, that the reason you don't wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of O's, and therefore there's no prohibition. It just, you don't have to wear it. Right? So what comes out is that Tosfos says that the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva is, as we said, not just the scope, but the nature of the exemption. According to Rabbi Yossi, there's a lav, and therefore the logical extension of that could have been, as the Bnei Ma'arava did, saying a bracha when you take it off, because if it's in fact usher to wear it at night and usher to wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then it you could come up with a bracha which would tell you a bracha when you take it off. But if you think that you just it's unnecessary on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it's not usher, so obviously you wouldn't make a bracha because there's no kiyum, right? There's no positive fulfillment in taking them off. And Tosfos says that's the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva. And then he assumes that we paskin like Rashi, right? This, as we saw, is how Rashi rules as well. That Rashi, right, in Beitza rules this way, Tosfos here in Nida, that we rule like Rashi, who really paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that there's no obligation to wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. At night, biblically, you can wear it, or maybe, you know, you get a mitzvah, but there's a rabbinic prohibition that you shouldn't wear it because you might fall asleep in it.
So getting back to our Gemara and to, let's say, in Shabbos, then there should be absolutely no problem to wear your tefillin and without shinui. If you find tefillin, there should be absolutely no issue to wear it.
Yeah.
It is permissible.
According
yeah.
to Rav Ashi.
Right, on Shabbos and
according
Yom Tov.
According to Rabbi Akiva.
According to Rabbi Akiva, right. Then what would come out? Rather, you put it on, and then as we saw, there was a, right, the machlokas there is why can you wear it that way? Is it because it's, you know, wearing klachayad, or is it because it's...
But would you have to say a bracha? In other words, based on this, that you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos.
I mean, there's no mitzvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but there is...
Putting it on, there should still be a bracha.
Well,
it's not necessary, but you can do it.
Well, I mean, we would say usually there's a bracha, at least if there's a fulfillment. It sounds like there's no fulfillment, but no isser of putting it on. So I assume you wouldn't say a bracha on Shabbos or Yom Tov if you put it on. But you're right, it should be... I mean, that was, if you remember how Rashi took it, the Rashi said, that's why you're allowed to put it on, because it's not...
But he said shinui. I'm saying there's no need for shinui.
But Rashi said it's klachariyad, but at the beginning of the sugya, right, Rashi said that there was no problem. But Rashi said the reason you could wear it was because... Right at the beginning here, I don't know, Gemara Beta. Either the source sheet from last week or Gemara Beta, just the line in it. Right, Rashi had said, here, it was the beginning of the sugya. Way too far.
He says that you don't wear it for the Yom Tov.
The Ibi Yom Tov, then you say, Lavana, Shalom, right, meaning, all right. Rashi said that was enough to remove the Isser, right, to make it necessary, to make it a Tzorach, because since there's no Isser to wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right, you could wear it, so that was enough to, you're right. Yeah, it's a little bit strange. I mean, Rashi, who clearly holds this way and thinks that it's enough of a Tzorach that I'm allowed to send it because I'm allowed to wear it, still seems to think that at least on Shabbos, right, I need it to be klachar yad, right, the reason I'm allowed to carry it, which is a little bit strange. It could be that he thinks that ritual clothing is not called clothing, and right, that's what Rav Elchanan noted, right, that if you think that, even if you think you're allowed to wear it, if you think it's ritual clothing, you know, like tefillin, or not called wearing, so then it still might be carrying, even if it's mutter to wear, or it's mutter to, I guess, put on, right, would be the better word. So I assume that might be how you have to split the difference, that it's, you're allowed to put it on, but it's not called wearing when there's no mitzvah or something like that, right? It's, right, because you wouldn't wear it normally if there was no mitzvah. Again, you could come with, you know, that would lead you to all types of interesting cases, right? If someone was putting on a play, you know, on that required you to dress up as you do during the week, right? So then you're dressing up. You're right. You're not just wearing it, you know, to carry it, but you're wearing it to look like something, which is clothing. You know, maybe, I mean, again, there, you know, the postgame of all these discussions, it's not, you know, in our community, it's pretty standard to wear a watch, even if there's no Eruv. But in the Hasidic community, they don't, because they say, oh, you're wearing it, but men don't wear jewelry. You must be wearing it as a functional thing. And even though you're wearing it, quote unquote, it's not clothing. It's, you know, it's the same as a pocket watch, which you happen to tie around your arm. Right? So it could be that Rashi's imagining that way, that there's no Isser, but it's still not clothing. Or, well, I guess that's what he would have to say. I mean, that was what we sort of saw in Rav Chanan last week.
You mentioned carrying.
Yeah.
Concept of carrying, like taking a tefillin to a shul, for example. Would that be within the takana? Probably a really far-fetched question, but like lulav and esrog?
I mean, if you think it would be cat. I mean, no.
Why don't you use lulav and esrog
on Shabbos?
Right, because of Shema Yavi Reno Dalet Amos.
Yeah, right.
Right, but tefillin, there's no mitzvah. No one holds
so
a mitzvah. Where
it, so it's even worse.
Yeah, exactly. Meaning it's.
So
right, I mean, you don't have to forbid it, Gzera, because you might carry it. You just. It may be that it is carrying because there's no mitzvah.
That might be as to why you wouldn't put it on on Shabbos, too.
Well, so according to Rashi, they're not muksa.
And according to Tosos, right?
Because, and according to Tosos here, because you're allowed to wear them. Once you're allowed to wear them, they're not muksa. Right? We tend to think not that way, right? Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass that way, as we saw last week. The Shulchan Aruch thinks it's usser. Now, Shulchan Aruch is usser, even though he does seem to derive it from os. So, right? So we saw last week that you could go in the direction that it's usser, even good of os. Rashi and Tosos don't take it that way.
So there used to be a story, it's probably a book nice, about the rugged shavuot that he used to put on towels and film. He learned at night.
Interesting. I don't know. Could be. I have a friend who's, you know, whose family is very close to the rugged shavuot. I can ask him. And he was he's a tights. The tights, like Rabbi Tights Senior, got his smicha from the rugged shavuot back in, you know, Vinsk.
I know the tights, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
I don't know that it's true, but that's what
it could be. You know, he held halacha vein morin kain, but you know, he could do it.
Well, he wasn't going to sleep. Well, there's a chashash he could have fallen asleep with his talit tefillin on, but he's sitting there learning.
Right.
The question is, do you sit there and learn with your talit tefillin on, or is he thought there's some special kedusha?
I don't know. It could be. I could, you know, check around, but that's, you know, the type of thing you'd have to ask someone who knows the family or.
Right.
Okay, so just to push this a little bit farther, the Rav has this analysis where he notes that based on Tosos, it seems to be a machlokas. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi, again, according to Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't seem to be this way. According to Shulchan Aruch, as we saw last week, Shulchan Aruch really does seem to both paskin that it's os, like Rabbi Kiva, and still think it's actually usser, and not just. Right, that's his Lashon, the source sheet from last week. Right, I put it there. Yeah. I mean, we'll see in a minute that he really believes in the os thing, and we'll see that more in the Beis Yosef. But his language, v'shabas yom tov aser laniach tefillin. No, it's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. V'mnei shehem atzmam os v'manichin v'hem os acher v'zilzul os shelohet. But Shulchan Aruch rejects this analysis and says, no, even according to Rekiva, it's a different iser. Okay, it's not v'shamarta. It's a zilzul os. It's you're saying that Shabbos isn't a good enough os. That's a degradation. That is forbidden. So Shulchan Aruch rejects this analysis.
How does the tour hold?
I don't remember the formulation of the Torah. I'd have to look back. So Shulchan Aruch rejects this analysis. But to understand this analysis, so the Rav suggests.
Where is that?
This is in. Stam book. Right. So he suggests that the reason this would be the case is that what Rashi and Tosos say is the rabbinic reason that we don't put on tefillin at night, right, is because, oh, you might fall asleep. Right. So he suggests that that's really at some level behind the biblical prohibition as well. He says, what is the pasuk we derive it from? From Vishamarta. Right? And he notes that in the Mechilta, Vishamarta is the, I didn't put it here, Vishamarta is the source for the obligation to check your tefillin once every 12 months. So he said, well, what does that tell you about Vishamarta? Vishamarta both teaches you not to wear it at night, and it teaches you to check it every 12 months. it must be that by tefillin, there's this special obligation to protect it, to make sure it's kosher. So if it expresses itself in how you have to take care of tefillin, it might also express it in the time when you're supposed to wear tefillin. He notes that the Gemara in Sukkah as well, when the Gemara is figuring out how old does somebody have to be for us to train him in mitzvos, how old does a child have to be to mechanech him in mitzvos, so by tefillin it says, by lulav it says until he can shake it. By tefillin it says until he can guard the tefillin. So as you see that guarding tefillin is not just ancillary to it, it's central. It expresses itself in when we educate people and how often we check in. And it could be that which Rashi and Tosfos thought was rabbinic for Rabbi Yossi is biblical. You don't wear it at night because night is a time when people don't protect things. And therefore it's a violation of shmirah, of guarding it to wear it at night. And therefore, you would even make a bracha, so to speak, before you take it off, lishmor chukah, that I'm protecting the tefillin. So the Rav builds this notion, you can read through it if you want, and it's in para, it's in Siman Tet here in the Shirim on Stam, where he builds off this Tosfos. Most of the piece is analyzing this Tosfos and then plugging Tosfos back into the Rambam. But Tosfos is much clearer than the Rambam, and arguing that maybe, again, Shulchan Aruch rejects this analysis, but Vishamarta tells you that there's a positive obligation to protect the Kedusha of Tefillin. That means checking it. That means only giving it to children when they can guard it. And in our case, it means not wearing it at night, which is not a time of Shemira. Now again, it's a little bit strange because it's the same pasuk that teaches Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Shabbos and Yom Tov don't seem to be lacking in Shemira in quite the same way. But that's his analysis. And therefore he thinks, there are Biosi who thinks that is it's from Vishamarta will think that there's an Isser to wear it at night. And that's why you make a bracha, according to the B'nai Marava, when you take it off, but only right before nightfall, when you take it off to show that you're protecting it. But if you think it's from Os, then you would reject this analysis. I would just add to the Rav that it could be that if he's right, then the reason that we would paskin halacha vein morin kain, that we would say it is a time of tefillin, and yet we don't tell the average person, is because biblically it's true that you could wear it at night, but rabbinically, since we know there is a notion of protecting tefillin, so we sort of expand that biblical notion and we forbid you from wearing tefillin at night just in case. The yechidim, like Rav Ashi, could still wear it at night. But the average person, that that which Rabbi Yossi thinks is biblical, might still be rabbinically true for Rav Ashi. So that would create a middle position. So that is how the Rav learned this sugya, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Again, as we noted, Shulchan Aruch seems to reject this and think that both for Rabbi Akiva and for Rabbi Yossi, it is prohibited to wear tefillin at the wrong time.
I'm quite Rabbi Akiva that says ought. Okay, would you be required to wear it at night? In other words, any time that you are awake, you would be required to have an ought. So Shabbat and Yom Tov would be an exception because they are an ought in themselves.
At night, correct. You'd be obligated to wear tefillin.
It would be obligated.
You'd be obligated to wear tefillin. You'd be obligated. According to Rabbi Akiva, the way the Gemara seems to present it would be obligatory at night. And it seems to be the way Rashi and Tosfos understand halacha vein morin kain is, even though it's obligatory, we tell you not to do it. Or even though it's a mitzvah, but the same way that it's technically obligatory to wear it all day, and we only wear it for davening. It always baffled me that, we say that we don't wear tefillin all day because we can't protect it, so we only wear it during davening, and yet we take it off before Musaf, in Rosh Chodesh. I always thought that, if you can protect it, so if you're still in shul, and you're still, davening, why do we dafka take it off before Musaf? But apparently the minhag developed that we really assume that, we put it on the minimal amount, and even though no one argues that there's an obligation all day, What?
Maybe that's based on the Os Shita.
That's what I thought. With Musaf. Is because of...
Maybe.
It's a different Os, right?
Maybe. Right. If you think Rosh Chodesh is an Os, maybe.
Right, that's the
I don't know.
Reason. That's about the Kabbalah says. Keser, there's a thing on the head.
For the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
Because normally Os is about the day. I don't know, it could be. I never heard
much
that.
It's more symbolic, concrete, I think, in some ways.
Maybe. I've never heard it. It's totally possible.
So how does Rav Ashi, who holds that it's a mitzvah to put on tefillin at night, How does he disband it just simply because of Emurin?
I mean, how do we disband our tefillin during the day? Right? Because, you know, if practically people aren't going to watch it, then, you know, yatzah schar v'hafsedo. Right? If people aren't going to take care of it, then it's, you know. We have things like that. I mean, you mentioned before, right? Gzeira d'rabba. No one argues that wearing, you know, that shaking the lulav on Shabbos is a mitzvah. We still don't do it because you might violate Shabbos. There's an ensuing machlokas achronim. What if you did do it? Or what if you did shake it on Shabbos? Are you yotzei the mitzvah, or do chachamim have the power to make it that you didn't even fulfill it? Right, but we have other cases where we do that. Okay, now very briefly, and then we'll move to Chol HaMoed. The derivative of this discussion is when the Gemara has that case at the end of Hayah Baba Derech. Right, you were traveling and you had tefillin on your head, and the sun went down. So there's Machlokas Rishonim. Is that talking about only on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Right, it's about to be Shabbos, and that's when you're taking it off, or is it? It's about to be night, and therefore you have to take off the tefillin, right? And how you understand the Gemara Menachos of whether, in the end, we think that night is as man tefillin, so it's not such a big deal to wear it at night, and therefore, if we're telling you to take it off, it must be Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? Or if you think that no, we paskin that it's also to wear it at night, and therefore, when the Gemara says you're traveling and it's about to be sunset, it could even be during the week. Right, that ends up being a machlok rishonim where they plug in how you paskin and menachos into beitza. So you look just at source 4 and 5. The Ritva, according to Balamor, says, right, when is it that the sun is setting? Perish b'chol during the week. Midalokam or v'kidish alavayom, because it doesn't use the magic words kidesh that it becomes holy. Kedamar v'seifa k'dani v'masdizin v'samach v'hadabai lesa dasa k'man de'amar layla lav zman tefillin mid'araisa. Right, so he says this is right even during the week, because we paskin you shouldn't wear it at night. So why do you put your hand on it? To show that you're just wearing it not for the mitzvah, because night is not a time of mitzvah, you're just wearing it to protect it. But he said, we don't actually paskin that way. It must be a bayi paskin that way. But we paskin, as Rashi did and Tosus did, that in fact night is a time of wearing tefillin. Then we would paskin against the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza said that according to Abaye, who says that night is not a mitzvah of tefillin, so if it's a normal weekday and you're traveling and it's about to be nightfall, so put your hand on it to show that you're not doing it for the mitzvah, but we don't paskin that way. We hold that fundamentally night is the time. We normally tell you not to wear it, but fundamentally it's a time of the mitzvah, and therefore if you were stuck in a situation that you were traveling, then okay, so just wear the tefillin. What's the big deal? And that's what the Balamor said. The Efshar Lafarish, you could say that no, the Abayi Berev Shabbos, maybe this is the way we paskin, and it's before Shabbos. The Nakad Veshakalav Chama, the reason it says just simply the sun set without saying V'kidei Shalav Hayom, that it became holy, B'pnei Shema Halech Baderech Shubamakom Migula Roesh Geza Chama, to emphasize that you're traveling, and therefore you see the sunset. Ukshu Be'ir Shena Roesh Geza Chama Siman Kishetech Shal Hayom. Nor the, you know, when you're traveling, we talk about the sun setting because you see it. If you're in the city, so we talk about it becoming dark and therefore it becoming Shabbos. But when you're traveling, so we use that language. And Melchamos rules like that. Efshar in 5, Amar Akosev, Varisi, Larach, Larashizal, Shapirsha, Kulan, Kagon, Sheikh, Allah, Baderech, Be'erev, Shabbos. Right, Rashi and the Ramban, and everyone thinks that this is on Friday. V'chena das note, and that's what I think. Sheiloya Bechol, because if it was during the week, Lohaya Tzarach, Lanich, Yadu, Alain, Vishum, Tlashoran, Lohu. You wouldn't have to put your hands on it, right? Now he says, even according to the positions that say night is not a time of tefillin. He says, so what? So it's not a time of tefillin, big deal. You're wearing it to protect it. So why should you have to cover it? And even if you think that you violate a law or an asay for keeping tefillin at night, he's in b'menachos, v'im osur yachlos v'yavah biyado, l'ma v'niach yado alein. So if you really think it's osur, you should take it off. But what's this covering with your hand? It must be, right? So the Ramban argues as follows. He said, look, if we paskin it's usher at night, so what would it help to cover it? Right? You should take it off and carry it in your hand. If we're saying, no, leave it on, but cover it, it must be, it's Shabbos where you can't carry. And everyone agrees it's not time. So you cover it, you do something in between. But that only makes sense if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, because you have to carry it, and you want to show it's not a mitzvah. But if it's the night and you really think it's usher, so take it off. So, right, so plugging back the Shitas, Rirdva thinks our Gemara, again, he doesn't think we paskin this way, but he thinks our Gemara goes like the position that night is not as mantfilin, and therefore thinks that it is, the Gemara is talking about a weekday, and he thinks that, apparently, that even if you think it's usher to wear tefillin at night, it's only usher to wear it for the mitzvah, but not to guard it, and therefore the purpose of covering it is simply to show that it's not l'shem mitzvah. The Ramban thinks that if you held that it was usher at night, then it wouldn't help to just cover it. It would be usher even for shmira purposes, and you'd have to take it off. Therefore, it must be that our Gemara is talking about Erev Shabbos. And in Erev Shabbos, you have to do this middle thing, because on the one hand, you need to wear it, so you're not carrying it. On the other hand, you want to show this. Now, l'shem mitzvah, so you put your hand on top of it. So that is just how the Rishonim plug this discussion of how we paskin into the Gemara in Beis.
But if it's during the week, then you have the simple answer that was given in number 5, that he just takes it off. If he's allowed to carry.
Right, so that's the Ramban's critique. Right. The Ridva seems to think that you wouldn't take it, that either he'd say you could take it off. The machlokas between them seems to be, is there an isser, right, is it forbidden to wear tefillin to guard them at night? According to the Ramban, it still is. According to the Ridva, it's not, so he might just read the Gemara, you don't have to take them off, you could. But as long as you show, right, it's teaching the smallest chiddush, it's teaching, as long as you show it's not for mitzvah, then that's okay. But again, it could be that that's where the Ritva, or the Balamor and the Ramban, are arguing, is if you held that it was usher to wear at night, is it usher to wear at all, or is it usher to wear l'shem mitzvah? The Ramban thinks it's usher to wear at all. The Ritva and Balamor think it's only usher to wear l'shem mitzvah. So again, that's just how they plug this shita back into our Gemara of when is this time of Shaka Lavachama. Okay. So now just in the time we have remaining, so the next question that emerges is, everyone agrees that Shabbos and Yom Tov are not the time of Tefillin. Again, is it from Vishamarta or from Os? And if it's Os, does that mean it's just not the right time, but it's not Usser, which is how Rashi and Tosfos took it, or is even according to Os, it's Usser, which is the way Shulchan Aruch took it? The next question is, well, what about Kol HaMoed? So Tosfos here says, Yatsu Shabbos Vim Tovim Shein Atzman Kriyan Os Lo Mishum Da'asire Ba'asiyas Melacha. The reason that Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered in Os is not because they're Asur B'Malacha. Da'afilu Kol Shalmoed De'Shari Ba'asiyas Melacha Ika Os De'Pesach the Asr Bechilas Chameit, Uvisukos to Chayev Visukha, Uberg Basr, the Mai Kadan Mashma, the Chol Shamoid, Chayev. And so he, right, he, Satosis writes that you have to put on Tfilin on Chol Hamoed. Now he mentioned this possibility that maybe you wouldn't have to, because maybe Os isn't about Malacha, Os is about, you know, any mitzvah of the day that identifies it as a Yom Tov, of Chametz and Pesach on Pesach and Sukkah on Sukkis. Now, that's in fact the Gaonim's position. Limaskana, I just mentioned it, but the rush is long, so I just, you know, put it in parentheses. The Gaonim actually rule you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the reason they give is this, is that Os simply means that there's a special mitzvah associated with it, right? It's a holiday, and it has some symbolism of the holiday. It doesn't have to be malacha. It could simply be that there's a mitzvah. There's matzah on Pesach, and there's sukkah on Sukkis, and therefore that's how they rule in maskana. They say that Chol HaMoed is an os because of the ancillary, not the ancillary, the non-malacha mitzvahs on Chol HaMoed, and therefore they are enough holidays to exempt you from tefillin. And Tosfos rejects this. Now, it could be. Now, the problem with the issue of Tefillin Chol HaMoed is there's really a lot of things working at once, right? One, as Tosus brings up, is a Yom Tov and Shabbos defined by an Isra Malacha, right? By a prohibition to do Malacha. So, first question is it defined by that or not? The Gaonim clearly thought it wasn't, so they had no problem. They just said, look, the Os element of Shabbos and Yom Tov is about the mitzvos, about there being special mitzvos. And therefore, Pesach and Sukkot has special mitzvos the whole time, and it doesn't matter. Chol HaMoed is equal to the first and last day in that respect. So in that case, you're chayev. Even if you think that what makes Shabbos and Yom Tov a malacha, in Os, is the prohibition to do malacha, you still have to ask, is there a prohibition to do malacha on Chol HaMoed? So this, the way the Mishnah Berurah records it, is basically a 50-50 split in the Rishonim. Half the Rishonim thought that the Isser Malacha that exists on Chol HaMoed, right? On Chol HaMoed, we aren't allowed to do all Malacha, we're allowed to do some Malacha, with five very large exceptions, right? Things are Tzorach HaMoed, right? Things are for the Moed, or think if you're going to have a big loss, you know, Darave, etc., you're allowed to do. So half the Rishonim say it's rabbinic. There's no prohibition biblically. If you think there's no prohibition, so that either you think that Chol HaMoed isn't an Os, or you think that an Os is derived from the other mitzvos hayom. 50% of the Rishonim say no. The Malacha is biblical, it's just a lesser Malacha. It's a lesser level Isra Malacha. But in fact, it is prohibited to do malacha. The malacha that you are prohibited to do is biblically forbidden. And they basically split 50-50. How do you explain the five gaping exceptions? So, the language they use is Masar and Hakasav Lachachamim, that the Torah gave it over to the Chachamim. That's the line from the Gemara in Chagiga. Which, if you think it's rabbinic, then you just say it means it's rabbinic. If you say it's biblical, so it seems to be a different type of category, where the Torah left it sort of open and malleable, and you know, gave a category. You shouldn't make Yom Chol HaMoed not Yom Tov Dik at all. And then the Chachamim came and said, well, it's not quite Yom Tov, it's somewhere in the middle, and this is the exceptions to it. You should try to make it Yom Tov Dik, but with these exceptions. Mesher Weiss at length analyzes this category called Masar of Chazal Chachamim, that it's, you know, the cases where Chazal don't just interpret, but they actually legislate biblical law, right? It's a weird middle category where their job was to define the spirit of the biblical law and turn it into hard and fast law. So the first question you have to ask is there malacha at all? If there is an Isra Malacha, then pretty much Chol HaMoed shares all the main characteristics of Yom Tov, and then you would say, okay, it's an Os, you don't wear tefillin. If you think there is no Isra Malacha biblically, so the second question is what makes Shabbos and Yom Tov a sign, the Isra Malacha.
But it's not a question. If the Rishonim will hold that it's an Isra Malacha, do they also hold that there is an Isra putting on tefillin? There are very few Rishonim hold like that.
In other words,
if you say those Rishonim hold that Chol HaMoed is an Isra Deraisa, do they also hold that it's an Isra putting on tefillin?
So a lot of them do. A lot of them do. The Gaonim. The Chuvas HaRash, this argument that Tosfos rejects, right, that you could have said that Sukkos is an Os because of, is accepted Lamaskana by the Gaonim that the Rash quotes. Right, the Rash has the same formulation, but he says, and this is V'chein Horu HaGaonim. That is how the Gaonim paskin.
That you don't put on tefillin.
You don't put on tefillin.
Or the Gaonim paskin, you don't.
You don't, right? That which Tosfos says as a Havamina. You might think that makes it an Os, but it's not.
Okay.
Right? The Gaonim say, no, it is an Os. It is an Os because of matzah.
Okay.
And the Gaonim therefore say, you don't wear it.
That's the fundamental Sephardi Ashkenazi.
But they are not connected to the Malacha.
So,
in other words, they're not going with what you're saying that Chol HaMoed has some malacha to it. They're going by the fact that it has a separate mitzvah to it.
That's the Gaonim go.
Yeah.
Right. Tosfos, though, he says, Lo mishum dasir mishum besis malacha. Right. He says, not about that, because there's other mitzvahs, but then Maskani he rejects it. He says, no, mashma Chol HaMoed chayev. No, it is chayev. And Tosfos seems to go back on that and say, no, it is about malacha. Right, because right, he says, "Oh, I would have said that Chol HaMoed is not an Os because it doesn't have Asiyas Malacha. Sorry, I might have said that simply because it doesn't have an Isra Malacha, it's not an Os. But there are other osos. But what can I do? The Gemara says that Chol Moed, you put on tefillin. So if you put on tefillin, it must be that it is about Isra Malacha and not those other things. Right? So Tosos rejects the Gaonic argument and seems to go back in the Isra Malacha, and Tosos, Lishitasam, do think that there's no biblical Isra of Malacha.
But his son doesn't paskin like the Rosh. The Torah. The Torah says you put on
The Torah says you put it on.
Right. So he doesn't.
Yeah. The Rosh is quoting the Gaonim.
Going to the Gaonim, right?
Yeah, he's quoting the Gaonim as saying that.
But maybe he doesn't pass it himself, right, at that point.
Okay, so I guess you have these two questions in the Rishonim, right? One is the Isra Malacha, right? Tosfos in the end, in his Havamina, he doesn't connect to Malacha, and Maskani seems to, and he ruled that there is no Isra Malacha, and you are chayav to put on tefillin. Now, there are those who thought it was, it was Asr Malacha, and they would have a good reason why you don't wear tefillin. The Gaonim thought that you didn't even need that because it's an os, because of this. I remember when I was editor of Beis Yitzchak, someone wrote a complicated article where he wrote that Chol HaMoed has a shame, was a shame Yom Tov, but not Kedushas Yom Tov, or something like that. And our general rule when I was an editor, was we didn't accept any article that you couldn't understand if you put your hands on the table, right? And if you needed to do this or this to understand the words, so we made people explain it to us. But he actually explained it, and he said that he thinks that Chol HaMoed is a holiday, but not a holy day, right? So that formulation seems to somewhat be where the Gonim are saying, right? It's not holy. There's not Malacha, right? It doesn't have Kiddusha in that sense. But it is a holiday, right? Symbolically, it is connected. It's the holiday season. So that seems to be sort of the direction that the Gonim and that go in.
Like an Ishru Chag.
What?
Like an Ishru Chag.
Yeah, something like that. Or like, you know, the 12 days of Christmas or something. I don't know.
But you have the special Korbanot. Like, how can you say it's not a holy day when the Korban?
So let's jump to 8. So Reb Chaim, actually, as the story goes, and this is how it's not actually in here. He doesn't say it in here, but he does say it in Shirim Lezecha Mari. Yeah. Quotes from Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim thought you don't wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, mitoras vaday.
Which Reb Chaim?
Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. The Rav quotes from his father, asked his grandfather, and he said, Bivadai, you don't wear it. You really? Don't wear tefillin. And he said, you don't at all? It's a suffix d'oraisa. He said, not a suffix. It's a vadai that there's no mitzvah, and I'll prove it to you. And that was source 8. In the context of the Gemara's discussion about Hallel, so the Gemara says, right, the Gemara is trying to figure out why do you say Hallel on all of Sukkot, but not on all of Pesach. So, Maishna b'chag damrin kol yoma, Maishna b'pesach lomrin kol yoma, Dechag chalukin karbono sehen, the Pesach ain't chalukin karbono sehen. So he says the difference is that Sukkot has different karbonos every day, Pesach doesn't. So the Gemara says, but Shabbos the Chalukah Karbanos Se'alima. So Shabbos has unique Karbanos. So why don't you say Hallel, right? If you think that what defines the Chiyuv of Hallel is special Karbanos, Shabbos has Karbanos. So the Gemara answers, Lo Ikri Moed. Shabbos isn't a Moed. So Reb Chaim said, wait a second. Shabbos isn't a Moed. But that implies that all of Pesach and all of Sukkot are a Moed. It's just that Hallel isn't about being a Moed. It's about being a Moed plus having unique karbanos. So you see, all of Pesach and all of Sukkot are a moed. Vadai, right? Like this formulation. All of Yom Tov, all of Chol HaMoed is a holiday, even if it is not a holy day. And therefore I don't know what the whole Brisker, the whole Soloveitchik family does, but at least Reb Chaim told Reb Moshe that vadai, 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 you do not wear it. And again, this seems to go in the direction of the Gaonim, that Chol HaMoed is unquestionably a Yom Tov of sorts, even if not a full Yom Tov, and therefore you don't wear tefillin.
And that's because of the Korbanos?
No, the Korbanos is about Hallel. He just pointed right to in the discussion. The Gemara says Hallel needs two things: Moed and unique Korbanos. Shabbat, right? So Pesach, Chol HaMoed Pesach has Moed, but doesn't have unique Karbanos, and Shabbos has unique Karbanos, but not Moed. But you, at any rate, what you see Toch Kedei this discussion is that all of Pesach and all of Sukkot are Moed. So again, in the Lumdish discussion, sort of whether you wear Tefillin and Chol HaMoed comes down to this question, right? Is Chol HaMoed in Os, meaning is it Yom Tov, which has two parts to it. One is there an Isser Malacha? If there is, then you might say that if there's a biblical Isser Malacha, then it is a Yom Tov. If not, not, which seems to be the direction Tosos goes. Tosos thinks there's no biblical Isser Malacha, and therefore he thinks you wear tefillin, but according to his logic, those shitas, which again, according to Mishnah Berurah, 50% of Rishonim, who thought there's an Isser Malacha biblically, then you wouldn't wear tefillin. The secondary question is, even if it's not about Malacha, maybe there's something called being a holiday without a holy day, that it's associated with the holiday season and therefore represents the message of the day. It's in Os, which is how the Gaonim took it, in their way, by saying that Matzah and Sukkah is what makes Yom Tov unique, and therefore there is an Os the whole time. Or Pchayim, who doesn't exactly flesh it out, but points to the Gemara that all of Pesach is called a Moed.
So it's weird Chanukah.
You should wear tefillin on Chanukah, yes.
Should we?
We should.
Based on this, maybe
not. We should. That's a rabbinic holiday, but who knows? Now, that's the Lumdish discussion, so to speak, of tefillin Chol HaMoed. Again, it gets more complicated because then people start figuring out maybe even if there is an Isser Malacha, it's not enough of an Isser Malacha. You need the full fledge to be an Os. But that's the basic Lumdish discussion, and it really does split. The majority of Rishonim really did think that you should wear it, though there were these Gaonic voices who thought that you didn't wear tefillin. Again, it was mostly rejected by the Rishonim, but there were voices.
And then came Kabbalah.
Yeah, the Rush, if I remember correctly, the Rush actually poskens like the Gaonim. Yeah. The big change, though, and this is what's noted in 7, is that even though Beis Yosef notes that the Arshit is like this, he quotes it. Kasvu had the ring yotzer shabbos v'yom tovim shem atzmam kruyim os lamishun dosir b'sias malacha. They feel chalamoid. Right, he quotes Tosfos. So just it go down 4 lines. V'yesh manichin film below bracha. I'm a varichel hits. It's some put on film without a bracha. The achshav now nagu kol b'nei svarad. No one wears it. V'shamati shemikodem ayom manichim also in b'chol moed k'divrei harash. Right. But then people found that the Zohar says you don't wear it, and that's why people don't wear it. So, Vim. So, right, once you finish the halach discussion, level 2 comes, which is the impact of Kabbalah on Psak. So, here, just briefly, right, you get the range of positions. You have the classic Litvish line, which was formulated by the Chasam Sofer, which is, if you mix Kabbalah and Psak, it is a violation of Shatnez. Right, you don't mix Halacha and Kabbalah, that's it. Right? It has no influence. So, you analyze the Sugya. If you think like Reb Chaim, it's a Moed, great. If you don't, and what's pushing you over the edge is Kabbalah, then that shouldn't have any impact. All over the other side, you have certain extreme voices, more in the Sephardi world, who say, no, we always passing like Kabbalah. And then they split. Some of them say we always passing like the Zohar, because the Zohar was a Tana, but we don't always passing like the Arizal, because the Arizal is a Rishon Achron border. Others say, no, we passing like the Arizal, but not the Zohar, because the Zohar was a Tana, but we don't passing like Shimon. Right, Reb Shimon in general, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon in the Gemara. So okay, in a Chanami he was a Tana, but he's not a Tana we paskin like. But if the Arizal is going to say it, he saw the Gemara, he knows that we paskin. So if the Arizal says something, it must be that we misunderstood the Gemara. Right, so all the way to the other extreme, you have these people who say no, we follow the Kabbalistic tradition, either because he's a Tana or because we must be misunderstanding Nigla. In the middle, you have the position that ironically ended up being taken by some Litvish poskim, and some Sephardi poskim, right? The Mishnah Berurah takes this position, and Rav Avadia sometimes, and Shulchan Aruch does.
That's work versus non-work.
Which is, if it contradicts halacha, you don't follow Kabbalah. But if there's a machlokes, and we're unsure, so then Kabbalah can be a factor. And if halacha says nothing one way or the other, you might as well be machmer for the Kabbalah. Which is the direction Shulchan Aruch takes, and Mishnah Berurah takes, and Rav Avadia even takes sometimes.
But where does the previous shita that was around in North America for a long time, which is basically if you go to work, you put on tefillin. If you don't go to work, you don't put on tefillin.
Europe also got shita.
Interesting.
My father also said people, that was just the thing. If you go to work,
it could be that people felt if you're treating it like Yom Tov, right. Then it's Yom Tov. Right. I mean, I hear a logic to it. I don't know if a source word. I don't know if a source word. I'll look around.
In Shiva, they always said that.
Like, interesting.
They always said.
I mean, I understand the logic to say that if it's Yom, if you treat it as Yom Tov, so you don't wear tefillin if you.
Exactly.
I never heard that shita, but it's interesting.
So how did the Vilna Gaon go from...
So the Vilna Gaon, right here, also said you don't wear tefillin, right?
Did he actually say that, or was it his
He does seem to... That's the tradition we have from him. And he's become Minhag Eretz Yisrael, but no one wears tefillin.
Yeah.
And so there's one shul in the old city that does, the X, because they don't care about anyone else's Minhag. All right, they have their Minhag, they wear it. So this sugya, many people think, is like the locus classicus of the impact of halacha and Kabbalah. Because, here you have the Beis Yosef saying that, you know, the halacha basically changed when Kabbalah became preeminent. And that is sort of one school of thought. Though Jacob Katz, in his article, in his book, Halacha the Kabbalah, which is excellent, he has a chapter on this, and he notes that it's not actually true. That if you're looking for locus classicus, don't look for the case where if a good posek wanted to justify it, he could. Because once you say that the Gaonim said to not wear tefillin, and you can construct an argument like that from the Gemara, so the fact that the Beis Yosef was swayed to possibly like the Gaonim is not so surprising. Like, it was already a machlokas,
right.
And you can justify it on pure halakhic grounds. Okay, so he happened to be a Kabbalist, so he said, okay, so once it's a machlokas, so it pushes it. But if you want to really test halacha and Kabbalah, look at a case where it isn't, where it seems very clear the halacha is one way and Kabbalah pushes it the other way. So he actually argues this is not a very good test case. It's an interesting test case, but not actually a paradigm for him. But he has a very, very long article on it if you want to look in the issue in general and this particular issue in specific. So it's an interesting time to talk about it. Whether, again, it's the paradigm of this discussion is unclear. At some point, I gave shiur on this in Gush, on Halacha and Kabbalah. If you want to see the sort of the range of positions or just look at the source sheet. Other places to look. Jacob Katz's book. If you look on YU Torah, I can send you the link. I'll send out the link. Just good sources on it if you're interested, because I'm fascinated by halachic jurisprudence issues, so I spend a lot of time on halacha and Kabbalah. So Jacob Katz's book, first of all, is excellent. It's called Halacha VeKabbalah. The last fourth of Bini Lau's book on Reb Ovadia. Bini Lau wrote his dissertation on the intellectual biography of Reb Ovadia during his lifetime, and Reb Ovadia reviewed it. So it's a... You know, it has a good haskama. It has haskama from Reb Ovadia. The fourth section is Reb Ovadia's attempt to push back against the Kabbalization of halacha in the Svardi world. It's a more local view on the Svardi world, but he has a brief introduction. Rabbi Brody, Shlomo Brody, has a nice summary of the more modern literature on the Text and Textures RCA blog, and Chalamish has written a lot building on Jacob Katz's works. There's really been a lot of work on this. And Halacha and Kabbalah, Tefillin Chalamoid is probably the most famous case, even though as Jacob Katz it's maybe not the best case, but it is a famous case, and therefore a lot of people discuss their positions in this context, even if one could say it's not paradigmatic. Okay, so that's just a little bit more on Tefillin and Yom Tov and Tefillin on Chalamoid.